All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now with a touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
Everybody, that's how we always start. And there's Joe Bartnick and our special guest, the very talented, the hottest comic in the country.
He got the belt.
World.
He's got the belt.
Bill Burr. Right. Bill Burr up in here.
I don't know about that, but I can tell you one thing. You should not have a bowl full of Starburst.
I know that's a mistake, isn't it?
My God.
Because you can't talk with those in your mouth and you lose fillings.
They're delicious.
They are good.
I like the orange ones.
I'm a fan of every color Starbucks.
Starburst.
But that's how much Starbucks have taken over the world. As soon as
that
they say star, you
make
say
that
box.
Mistake.
But, Starburst is the rare candy where all the colors taste well. Somebody had Chuckles this weekend. My buddy's wife is pregnant, so she has these weird cravings, so she wanted Chuckles or something like that. And basically, the orange was good,
right?
The green was good, and the yellow was passable, and the rest of them were shit. The black and the white one are just, you know.
Black hard candy,
it's awful.
I
don't understand how licorice is considered anything. That's like eating like a sugary like garden hose.
Yeah.
Especially stale licorice.
It's just the worst. It's awful.
I mean, I like black licorice flavored booze, but I hate regular.
You know what's even
licorice.
Worse? Twizzlers. Twizzlers have a weird antiseptic taste, don't they? Have some weird.
Yeah, they taste like. Yeah, they do. They have that weird after coat. Kind of like Gatorade. Every Gatorade tastes the. Like, after you get away the hint of like orange, it all tastes the same.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
Except
talking
that
about?
Twizzlers is one of our sponsors, so maybe that was wrong.
Oh, there you go. Well, always the professional.
Sorry about
from
that.
From the Rose Bowl. Our captain is here 2 weeks in a row.
Come on, guys.
The great Frazier Smith wearing the C.
First time I made two games in the entire season.
Oh, yeah.
I was at the Rose Bowl, guys. I know you guys go every year. I think that's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have vague memories of going to about six in a row.
Man, that is more fun than anything, though, isn't it?
Somebody passes out every year, and this year we lost two soldiers. I passed out during the final hour of the tailgate. Lawhead smoked this pork shoulder. I ate it. I have no recollection of eating it, and we lost your co-host here. About in the second quarter.
Wow. Did you even make it into the game?
Oh, I always make
you
it
made
to
it
the
in,
game.
Right?
I always make it to the game. Whether I actually make it through the it's the funniest thing ever to pass out at a Rose Bowl. Because usually, you know, when you pass out, you're used to waking up, you know, at a friend's house, you know, in the garage. Or just something more. To just wake up and all of a sudden trying to remember where you are and there's 100,000 people going crazy. It's pretty insane.
How am I
going
to find my wallet?
Yeah.
Oh, the car is a whole nother incident. I was last this year, too, but the first year me and Boo ever went, probably one of our drunkest as a combined unit. We didn't find the car for like 2 hours. Now, you were there this year. You know how like the balloons, they have like numbers on the balloons. Here's where you park.
Right.
Well, that's in the daylight. In the dark,
you can't see anything. And you get lost in that golf course really easy.
Yeah, you're parked on a golf course, so it's not a parking lot. So the numbers where you park are not lit up. So during the day, you're like, oh, we're in section two.
Yeah.
And then at night, you come out.
Good luck.
None of the balloons are lit up. You're coming out of a round stadium. You're drunk. And then you're walking out on a golf course where the whole fucking thing looks the same. There's not, was I on floor one or two?
Yeah.
It's just all the same level spread out over. That's got to be like 4 square miles. Dude, we were walking around for so long after that game. I was getting dehydrated. I was actually getting nervous. Like I felt
oh, you
like
get nervous, yeah.
I was feeling like hypothermia was setting in. I'm like, how the fuck am I going to get a cab?
And all
here?
Of a sudden it's really cold.
Yeah, my cell phone had died. We were like...
Yeah. It was like a Discovery Channel.
Bad.
How's Bartnick and Berg going to survive this tailgate experience?
And I was acting like I knew what I was doing, and I'm going off in the wrong direction, and my little nephew's with me, and he goes, no. He goes, we got to go that way. And I go, no, we don't. Trust me. I've been to a million of these.
Yeah.
And I'm a mile in the wrong direction before he finally goes, dude, come on.
I actually sent everybody a text I took a picture of the balloon this year and sent it to all of them. I said, for later when we're all drunk. We parked in, I think, section 2 this year.
Yeah, I knew where it was. I knew it was close, even though I walked around the whole stadium. It was the last point I looked at. Like, I was everywhere.
We lost you. This is how fucked up the Rose Bowl is. He was there. And Joe's a big guy. We had him.
How do you miss him?
He was there. We turned around. He was gone. It was like we were going through the jungles in Vietnam, and they picked off the guy in the back.
Because I knew we weren't that far away this year from the actual stadium. So I just kept the perimeter. I kept going, okay, well, we're this far away.
Well, it's a surreal setting, isn't it? I mean, I was out to, James Caan, the actor, is a big Michigan State fan. So I saw him with my nephew. I go, hey, that's James Caan. You know, and then about 10 minutes later, we're in the hot dog line. He's right next to me.
That's unreal.
So I go, Mr. Caan, how are you? Hey, how you doing? You know, I had him on my radio show years ago, and he was cool. He remembered me. He goes, yeah, I remember you. Yeah, man. We're talking. He's a big Michigan State fan. He used to play.
Oh, he did?
For the Spartans. Played halfback.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I was trapped in a sea of green and white because I'm a Michigan fan. I hate Michigan State, but my brother's a Spartan.
Why would you hate Michigan State? It's not because they've ever beat you guys in a significant game.
No, but we always hate in-state rivals.
You just hate it. I thought you guys hated Ohio State.
That's what everybody thinks. We do hate Ohio State, but even worse, Michigan State. So I'm stuck, and people are going, green, white, green. And I'm in the middle of that.
You're in maize and blue.
Yeah, man. And then they booed our coach when they put him in the Hall of Fame, Lloyd Carr. They booed him, so I was pissed about
Lloyd
that.
Lloyd Carr's in the Hall of Fame?
We're not the Hall for the Rose Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Rose Bowl Hall of Fame.
There you go.
Yeah. But it was awesome.
They lowered the standards of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no.
Lloyd
Carr's not getting in there. No. But he is in the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame. Oh, but you know what? That game was awesome. Didn't you like the game?
Yeah, no. It was the best game that I've seen. I think the I want to say the TCU game, maybe that one came down.
Oh, did you go to that one too? Yeah. That was a good game.
We went to the last 6-1.
This is my favorite tailgate, though, by far. So, and that's all that really matters.
Because you can't remember any of it.
No.
Dude, we started off, his buddy came in, the guy, he's known for the Bloody Marys he makes. You know, usually when you have a Bloody Mary, you have one. This one, this guy made him so good. It was like, when you're done with it, it was like a meal at the bottom. He had all this extra stuff that he put in, olives and onions and all this. It was great. I had like four of those, slammed four of those, then Lawhead's making the omelets, had a great omelet, a couple of beers. And as always, who wants a heater?
Of course.
That'll kill it.
Early. And then boom, then we started catching footballs. We had music this year. We started shotgunning beers with Michigan State girls.
How are they got some pretty good looking girls.
Yeah, it was a good time.
I don't really remember any of it. I just remember some woman went over and looked at the pork shoulder, and she just said, she goes, oh, that's nice. And it really offended me. He's got it on video. I was going, nice. I was like, did you grow up in a city of gold? Were there marble columns on either side of your bed? I was a little belligerent this year. I was kind of embarrassed by my behavior. So I'm trying to cut back the drinking. But what's killing me is I'm at an age now where I'm losing drinking buddies by the week. I had two buddies of mine this week found out they had fatty livers.
Oh, no.
And they got to stop.
Ugh.
I've been diagnosed with that like 6 years ago.
Yeah, that didn't
that
stop
is such
you.
No reason to quit.
That's protection.
Like skipping a playoff game with a hangnail. Yeah. That is the worst excuse. Who doesn't have a fatty liver?
You need a fatty liver.
Get out of here. That's really, you can tell me who they are off air because I don't want to embarrass them for such a poor reason to be on the IR. That is terrible. Tape it up.
Really? Oh, I have a fatty liver. I'm not going to have another drink. Really?
They better be from Boston. They're from Boston. That's a disgrace.
Well, back east.
No.
Okay, I was going to say.
Philly and a New York guy.
A disgrace. Really? I mean, literally, I was told, my cholesterol was like, it's like paste. I mean, like, I have a fatty liver. What are you going to do? Not drink? Come on. That's. Now we can talk about
hockey. Your cholesterol is like...
It's literally 420.
It's Yaz's, home run mark.
No one's hit my level of cholesterol in 40 years in the bigs. No, it's literally grease, Crown Royal, and marinara sauce. That's my
But it balances
blood.
Out. Grease with the alcohol, that's a wash.
Yeah, that's a wash.
Yeah.
Marinara is the same color as your blood, so you're good.
So you're good, man. You're rolling.
But fatty liver, that's just someone who doesn't want to. That's like getting a Philly flu. That's just someone who doesn't want to skate that day. A fatty liver. Are you kidding me? I got a fatty liver. Yeah, let's talk hockey.
Well, wait a minute.
I can't.
Can I tell you my ginger breaker story?
Oh, absolutely. This is. I mean,
we were just looking at a poster of Cream.
Yeah, we have a great studio here.
Now, 50 years ago or whatever it is. A long time ago. So my buddy managed him for a while, the great Ginger Baker, probably the greatest drummer ever in my book. Anyway.
Well, yeah. You see that documentary, and I mean, I love Zeppelin, but then you see the documentary, and he's like, oh, Bonham's garbage. I only think the three greatest jazz music drummers, you know, like Art Blakey. And then you see him drumming with Art Blakey, and you're like, damn, Ginger Baker's at a different level.
Yeah,
I'm not a drummer.
Elvin Jones, he said, and I remember the quote because I'm a huge John Bonham fan.
Oh, Bonham is
and
awesome.
Nobody's ever.
Everyone loves Bonham.
Yeah. Of course he doesn't. He'd love him too if he wasn't such a miserable cunt. And he said, John Bonham couldn't swing a sack of shit. I almost.
Baker said that?
I almost fell out of my chair.
Oh, God.
I almost fell. I mean, that was just like, it was like thrashing, drumming Jesus.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah. And to say that he had no swing it's the most ridiculous.
But that's Baker.
Baker's like saying Dan Marino had a weak arm, yeah, threw like a pussy, yeah, or something. Yeah, it just, yeah, it doesn't even make sense. But
is that like the ultimate knock on a drummer, though? He couldn't swing. Like, is swing a term drummers use? Like, if Ted Williams is like telling,
yeah,
Joe DiMaggio couldn't swing, you know, is that?
Well, one of the things why those guys were so good and why their stuff sounded better is because they grew up on their dad's record, which was big band and jazz. So they had a swing pulse underneath their rock thing. And what happened was it kind of got watered down through the years. It just kept getting heavier and heavier. And if you notice, white people never really had rhythm. But if you watch when they listened to jazz, it was impossible not to clap on the 2 and 4. Like ding, 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 clapping there. If you started fucking once it really... and we all got wasted. It started to be that clapping on the downbeat, like... you'd clap on all four, which is even... that's not quite as worse as clapping on 1 and 3. But no, they all had, like, all of them grew up with that type
with a
of
jazz
stuff.
Bass.
Well, yeah, Mitch Mitchell and all of those guys, yeah. And just so their whole approach to it was, you know, with jazz, you kept, this is such not a hockey podcast. It was weird. With jazz, you kept a rhythm on the cymbals and you accented with the drums, and then rock was different. You kept the beat on the drums and you were more accenting with the cymbals. Right. Totally overly simplifying it. So their approach to fills and their approach to moving a song and all that was more of a jazz-based thing. And then over the years, people would listen to Bonham and incorrectly thought he was back there bashing away. What they didn't understand was they were hearing the immense sound of his drums and the way that they were recorded. And they thought that he was back there literally swinging from the ceiling and jumping on his...
No, he was trained. He knew what he was doing.
I mean, I don't know if he was trained. He just had a gift. Like, he knew what the fuck he was doing. But if you watch the guy, this video of him, like, it's all fingers and wrists. He just,
more subtle than you think.
Ginger Baker?
No, John Bonham. I'm defending John Bonham. But Ginger Baker, I'm not saying, obviously, I hold all of those guys. That's the whole Mount Rushmore, the whole.
Yeah, I love
gotta
all
hear
those
this Ginger
too.
Baker story, though. Because, I mean, I'm going to jump off, let Fraser talk, but you have to go see that. You have to see that documentary on Ginger Baker.
Even if you're not into drums, just to watch how he's living his life.
Just to see the craziest human being.
He is truly the most insane human ever.
Okay, now, Fraser, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, now I forgot my story. No, he was. I knew his manager, and the guy says to me. So we were hanging. I did my radio show, and he was insane on the radio show. He was great as a guest because he had all those old stories about jazz groups and all these bands he'd played in, and was awesome. And was completely stoned the entire time, and wasn't even looking at me, and was looking off, and he was just gone. But he was a great guest. So then his manager goes, hey, would you mind if he stayed with you for a few days? And I go, what do you mean? This guy's got to have a lot of money. What are you talking about? And he goes, well, he's taking a liking to you. He wants to stay at your place. So I said, okay, I guess, you know. So he sleeps on my couch. There's Ginger Baker sleeping on my couch. And he stayed for a few days.
What year was this?
This was early 90s, right? And then he meets this chick. He gets this polo girl. And he gets married to her. And her dad is some big general. He's a general in the army. And so next thing I know, he's going off with her to Virginia. So he leaves. But while he was here, he was just insane. He would show up at Laugh Factory and try to get on stage, and I'd have to stop him. I'd go, you can't go. And everywhere we go, people would say, we thought you were dead, because he looks like a cadaver. He's just completely emaciated. Wonder why. And just caused trouble everywhere he went.
Was the reasons for his emaciation still going on when he was staying with you?
Not around me. All I saw him was smoking pot. Oh. He smoked up all my pot.
Is that a word, emaciation?
Yeah, I don't know.
Just sound but,
emaciation proclamation. But he's proclaiming that.
But when
he
would
emaciated.
Show up places with him, people would be stunned. You know how you show up somewhere with a celebrity and it's a friend of yours and people are like, hey, that guy, you know, I know him. But with Baker, it just stopped people in their tracks.
Yeah, it's like you showed up with Jim Morrison.
Yeah, they'd be like, what?
Like, wasn't he dead?
Yeah, they thought he was dead, everybody. And so we did a show out at the country club in Reseda. And he had a show.
There's
and
a
he
country
had,
club in Reseda?
Well, they used to do concerts out there once in a while. And it was they had boxing out there. They did a lot of stuff out there. Did you ever go to the boxing matches out there? It was great.
No.
And anyway... So he has me sing a song, a Cream song. He had me sing Pressed Rat and Warthog because I happen to know the lyrics. And he goes, I'm going to have you sing it. I said, what? I don't sing. Goes, well, you're going to sing this one. So I had to go to rehearsal, and they had Alan White from Yes. They had all these heavyweights were in this band. And he's a drummer, too. I don't know why they had two drummers. But so we're doing the gig. I got up. I did Pressed Rat and Warthog. Somehow I got through that. Then they start playing the gig, and all of a sudden, Baker's gone. The band's playing. They're looking around. Baker's gone. And he'd gone off into the audience somewhere. And was I don't know what he was doing, getting a beer? I don't know what he was doing, but there was no drummer there.
And Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he's an insane individual. And that was awesome. The last I ever heard from him. He stayed
How
with
the fuck have I known you for almost 20 years, and I'm now just hearing the Ginger Baker story? This is great.
Well, you know, I was his favorite guy for 3 days. Smith. He called me Smith. Smith, let's go over here. Like, come on, Smith. And he was absolutely out of his mind, the guy.
That's awesome.
But it was awesome showing up places with him. And
That guy sounds like he basically is just like couch surfed for like 4 decades.
Probably. It didn't seem to bug him at all.
When he was in Africa, I mean, that was the craziest stuff I've ever seen. Just getting shot at by, you know, like...
The locals,
like,
yeah.
The military. Wow. Someone's filming them literally leaving the continent on a Jeep. Like, they were shooting at him, and he's driving away. Like, I'm leaving everything I own. I'm getting off this continent. Like, ah!
Yeah.
And they're shooting at him. And then the next part of the movie, he's like, he's back in America.
Yeah, he just picks up. He just goes somewhere and just starts all over.
Yeah, it just gets like the continent wants him. Like, in here, he was like, whatever, the polo station tried to kick him. It kicked him to Africa, basically. Like, he's been just kicked from continent to continent.
When he did the reunion with Cream, his cut of it was like $2 million, so he finally wasn't broke. And he goes out and he spends like $2 million on polo horses.
Oh yeah,
and flies them to, and he's instantly broke again.
Sure, it didn't seem to bother him. And one guy that did bother him, Clapton. He was mad at Clapton.
Oh really? Because
before they did their reunion tour, though. I mean, I guess they must have
patched
things up.
The movie seemed like, and now I don't know exactly. The movie it seemed like he didn't like Jack Bruce, but he liked Clapton. Is that what you? That's kind of
what. Well, what he said to me, he was mad that Clapton wouldn't go out on tour because he needed money at that point.
Well, right? I saw Clapton when I was in high school. Most amazing thing I've ever seen. I saw Clapton like 10 years ago, and I wanted my money back. It was so awful. It was like he sat down the whole time. It's like, dude, you're not B.B. King. You never picked cotton. Stand up. Like, you're 50 years old. Like, what do you do? You're sitting down? Like, you're not Bill Crosby. You're not in your 70s.
Well, Baker used to
stand up and play guitar. He sat, like, at the Oakland Coliseum, he sat down. Like, what are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
And Baker said, Baker says, he goes, he was ragging on him the whole, we'd be driving around in my car, and he'd be going, he can't even sing anymore. He can't even play. He can't play. Listen to him play. He's terrible now. And then he'd go, used to be the best in the world. What's he doing now? Now his singing's better than his playing, and his singing sucks. I'd be listening to this show.
No, and you're finding out why that guy's still couch surfing.
Yeah, exactly.
Why can't he find a band?
Yeah. But it was pretty interesting. The most interesting thing, his conversation with Jamie Masada. You need an interpreter for that one.
Hey, buddy.
Buddy, let me tell you, you are the Ginger Rogers. You are going to doing the dancing with the Fred Astaires.
I'm surprised they didn't become fast friends.
There we go. Right,
are we going to have to talk hockey at some point?
Yeah, we better.
Lose
yeah,
your
we better.
Listeners here.
Sorry.
Well, we love talking hockey, but yeah. Frazier Smith telling Ginger Baker stories. I mean, no one's. Hey, let's turn this off.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure we
all
held
right.
the audience, right?
Okay. I mean, right. I was getting self conscious that I was staring it in that direction.
Can I tell you? Can I tell you one quick other story about Boston?
Absolutely.
I did Boston. I did Kiss Boston. And they had me
Kiss 108.
Yeah, they had
Sonny
me
Joe White.
Sonny Joe White show, and I or no, he was the PD. The morning guy was who was it? Maddie in the morning. I filled in for him for a week, and I brought Jamie Masada with me, which was probably a mistake. We were almost run out of town, but I had old Bruins and old Celtics on the show. I had Cowan on. I had
Cowans.
Excuse me. I had.
That's probably got run out of town. Yeah. You had old. I had Orr.
Yeah, I had.
Meet Orr. Yeah.
I had Cashman on. Cashman was on.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
Are you the one that said, "Hey, Bobby Orr's not walking through that door, Mike Milbury"?
No, I would have liked to have Bobby Orr on there, but didn't. But then I had the Beanpot guys on, and they invited us to the Beanpot tournament. We went.
So what's wrong with that radio? Because they wanted you to play top 40.
Yeah, we had to play top 40, and then I had bikini day in Boston, and it was below zero and snowing, and I had people, if they showed up with a bikini, we'd give them a free t-shirt.
How did you get that gig?
I don't know. I still don't know how I got the gig. My buddy was in a new Sonny Joe, is what it was.
Cloudy Frank.
Yeah, and anyway.
Shady Frank.
But Cashman, if you have those old guys on, they love it.
Everyone loves talking about the old stuff. That's the best stuff. As we have this show, we usually end up talking about all the old times, right?
Well, those are the Bruins I remember.
Yeah, and Wayne Cashman. I remember whenever he'd get into a fight, Frank Cusick would always at some point say, "Oh, Cashman with the left," because that was his thing. He got the left hand going, and he would just. Somebody told me recently said he had small hands, so his thing was he tried to cut you, which I don't know how you deliberately try to cut somebody's face. With your fist, other than just smashing it. Is there a technique to that? You box?
Well,
did you
I don't
come
know.
At it with a certain angle?
Yeah, I guess you got it. Your knuckles. They always say in boxing that you try to hit with your knuckles. And you have to turn. Right, that's why there. You see the boxers turn their wrists like that. So I guess it's the same technique for hockey.
Like that.
Yeah. And you want to hit that lead knuckle there.
I don't know how the fuck those guys did that back then, because no one gave a shit about concussions. They didn't even do that turn into the side thing. You just squared up with the person. It was like rock 'em, sock 'em.
Yeah,
just
those guys.
Whoever goes down first.
Tough, man.
The big bad Bruins.
Yeah, they were badass.
Yeah, it was them.
The whole league was badass.
It was a different league. It was a different time. You know, people didn't complain about concussions. I mean, that gets back to, you know, me and Bill's... the Bruin fan versus the Penguin fan, the concussion versus concussion.
Now, do you think
the
that...
concussion versus
you
concussion?
Think there were,
I'm psyched that we finally cheap-shotted you guys back.
now the gloves are on. Now we go.
Finally fucking
after
happened.
After Ginger Baker sang the national anthem, get down to some hockey talk.
No, I don't have a beef with the Penguins. It's just that...
He went to Lemieux hockey camps, and now he's like softened up a bit on the...
No, but it's not like you
guys... He went to the Lemieux camp?
But you guys haven't done anything to us other than just that cheap shot shit. And the cheap shot shit, as much as it bugged me, what really set me over the top about the Penguins was fucking a year or a year and a half ago when you guys had that big fight with the Islanders and you guys started bitching about dirty play. And that's when I was just like, you got fucking Ulf Samuelsson in your ring of honor. Okay? You're either for it or you're against it. You know, practice what you fucking preach. So,
yeah, man.
And then I love when Sean Thornton hit that guy.
Brooks,
a buddy of mine in Pittsburgh goes, "Oh, I like how you didn't talk about the attempted murder on your podcast." Like, that's attempted murder compared to what the fuck your guys are doing? No, I don't like
Bill. Bill has attacked me for the turn of our entire relationship over the infamous Ulf Samuelsson Cam Neely hit.
Well, you guys have had a lot of beefs with a lot of teams. You have that thing with
well, we when you win a lot.
You have that thing with the Flyers. You have the thing with the Rangers.
That's such a cop-out. At no point have I ever challenged your cups. I actually say you guys
an
amazing organization.
You get a lot of enemies. That's what I said. I didn't say that. He said you have a lot of incidents with a lot of teams.
I hate when there's a dirty guy on another team, and they go, you know, you hate him, but if he's on your team, you'd love him. It's
Not with rats. Minor. I just said last week, Hartnell. He's a dirty bastard, but I love him on my team.
No, but well, he's funny, dirty. There's a difference between.
As I said, he's the. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to be hit you because I'm a jag.
I'm going to annoy the shit out of you. Yeah. I'm going to face wash you.
I'm a jag.
I love those guys. I actually love those guys. Those guys make me. What's his face on the Canadians?
Subban.
He's a great player, and he's fucking hilarious.
But Subban's a better player though than he is. He's a bastard, but he's also a great player.
But I love that
he's not just a bastard. Like I'm seriously though, he's not. No, like Marchand is pretty much. Remember the heist? Me and Bill just went to see the Kings versus the Bruins. Remember Marchand? I saw it on NHL Tonight.
Uh-huh.
That was a two-hander to the neck. And he got a 2 minutes on that. It wasn't even. It wasn't even a misplaced.
That's because he's a little fella. But my old thing is, I love when they try to compare, like when you had a Matt Cook or an Ulf Samuels, and then Marchand would do something like that and be like, "See, it's like, dude, it's not the same."
I've never liked Matt Cook. I don't like rats. Frazier.
I don't.
Not,
he see, doesn't my, like my him. Thing. My thing about Matt Cook is, I don't mind the guy now because he totally turned his. The guy can actually play. Turned it around. It was just that
he can't
that,
really. That, people that say he can play is like, yeah, he can kill penalties. Anyone. Can kill penalties.
Hey, how do the Bruins?
Well, yeah, right. Anyone in the National Hockey League can. I'm not saying I can
commit one.
Yeah, that's always fun. How did the Bruins shape up against the Kings? Do you think?
We went this year. This is the thing. I've wasted so much money as a Boston fan out here watching teams. I swear to God, they come out here, they have a good time in the sun, and then they just stay. I don't know. Either that or the Kings are unbelievable because they made us look like we were a last place team. We just came out. Dude, the amount of times I've seen the fucking Celtics sleepwalk through a game against the Clippers, back when the Clippers sucked, we had like that's back when we got all the free agents, you know, basically bought a title, and we'd come to town and we would lose.
Now, do you think that's it? Do you think they party when they get out here?
Yes.
Lucic was a flu scratch the night, the game before.
And I
think Lucic was not feeling good because he didn't play. He's one of the guys would you say, oh, I'd pay my seat. I love watching. I have a man crush on Lucic. He did nothing that whole game. And then his running partner, what's his name? 12, Iginla. Iginla's shot. I thought like the Penguins didn't use him right and they didn't give him the proper, he should have played with Sid and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then you see him play this year. Again, he's a step behind everywhere.
Well, we were talking about the Rose Bowl. Do you think that happens with all teams? You know, like I always thought the Big Ten teams were a disadvantage coming out here because they go to all the sites and go to Disneyland and everything and kind of get partied out. Whereas the West Coast teams are like, hey, this is business as usual.
I agree with that 100% because the Kings started fighting the league and saying, hey, why don't some teams play the Ducks first? Because it used to always be you play the Kings, you win, then you're like, hey, we already got 2 of the 4 points.
Yeah,
let's go to Manhattan Beach, and who cares about the Ducks? And so this way, so now that people play the Ducks first, it's a little different now. You maybe spend the night out in the town and come play the Kings.
I have to tell you, it's pretty cool, though, now because I'm living out here. That how difficult a swing that is now to go through Anaheim, L.A., San Jose all of a sudden. That's like murderous
It's a Bermuda
row.
Triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. West Coast teams are the toughest. And, you know.
It used to be great, though.
Not physically.
I mean.
Not physically, but performance-wise.
No, but performance.
The Kings are a tough team.
Someone had like a bad hammy. Like old Penguins, like you know, they've been didn't play for a month. All of a sudden, oh, it's the Sharks! Hey, everyone's playing. Everyone gets their 5 points.
Yeah,
and it ain't that way anymore.
Well, you know, I probably told this story already, but the Oilers, the old Oilers, Gretzky Oilers. Remember, I told you I knew this guy that played on the Oilers. Mm-hmm. So we go down to watch my buddy, and he was pals with Gretzky. And then we go out
Mark
and hang
Messier.
Out.
Now we have to guess.
No, it wasn't
Glenn Anderson.
It was
Yari
you
Curry.
Wouldn't know. Pat
Grant
Hughes. Fear. Pat Hughes. No one's heard of him. Oh. Fourth line. 4 rings though.
Yeah.
He was the fourth line on 4 good teams. Anyway, so we go out to this little bar over by the airport called Melody's. I think it's still there. And the entire Oiler team would go there after the game. Instead of going to a nightclub, they go there. And they would just pound beers.
Yeah.
I don't know how those guys – I mean, I guess they're thirsty after a game. They just hammer down beers, man.
Oh, yeah, they're thirsty. And, they are, though. You know, think about how they – I mean, hockey is the most – difficult. I mean, you ever see those guys after a game? They're done. They're drenched like they jumped in a swimming pool. Even fourth liners have played like 3 shifts.
Well, I heard, I just heard recently they got to consume 5,000 calories a day just so they don't, like, lose any of their muscle or anything.
Get emaciated like Ginger Baker.
That's almost worth playing at that level, going through all that hell just to make it.
So you can eat those 5,000 calories.
Like that. Well, did you ever see that, like, the team picture? Like, Shanahan looks like a bull. And then come June, like in the fourth round of the, you know, the Stanley Cup Finals, he looks like he's been Auschwitz for a month.
Oh, they don't look healthy, do they?
No,
they
don't look good. It's just amazing.
Goatee's falling off.
Yeah, yeah. Shanny. Yeah, well, you know what? I just heard today, though, they ranked the top 10 teams in the NHL. 8 are in the West. 2 are in the East. Boston, Pittsburgh.
Oh, well, there you go.
Of those 10 teams, the lightest... By the lightest, number 10 in weight is the Penguins. So that's where they got to gear up. That's why we have trouble against the Bruins. I mean, what funny thing is that for 5 years I've said he'd always be, not always be down, but he'd always be like, I don't know about the Bruins because, you know, he's a long-suffering fan for a while. And I'm like, the Bruins, we're going to play them in the East. Every year, he used to be down on Char. Like, Char takes over half the ice half the game. Love, yeah. Char. Then finally, boom, 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 finally get to where they're going to finally play in the Eastern Conference Finals. I fly home for game 5. I'm at a Pirate game. Boston swept us.
he was 100% right. I used to sit because I'm, you know, grew up in.
I'm at a Pirate. Should be a game 5 at Consol Energy Center. I'm right? at a Pirate game.
Oh, God.
It's like being in jail.
No, it's because I came up in the 80s, so I didn't get what Chara was doing. He was the one who explained it to me. Then I just started paying it because I was like, this guy should take the body, dude. You know, take somebody out. And. Then a couple times he got called for penalties, and I just saw like what like how much that affected our team, how much ice he took up, as Joe was telling me. And now I'm obviously I finally caught up. But I mean I don't you guys had some injuries and something like that. I refuse to believe that we were that much better than you.
You know what? We just
went on a run.
Well, we said it here though.
You did go on a run.
I'll say it again. Char double shifted. He played Crosby and
he played
Malkin.
He played amazingly, and I think it wiped him out for the finals.
Finals, yeah. It completely did because he was not the same player in the finals. In Chicago, I'm taking nothing away from Chicago though. That's the thing. The team that's most like the Penguins in the West is Chicago.
But in the semis, Chara was unbelievable.
Right.
And your team was unbelievable in that.
Yeah, you know. And then we ran to Chicago.
And they were like the team in the final, in the NCAAs that, like, they should have lost to Toronto. That's the funniest thing because, I wanted to play Boston, but I thought they were done. And I'm like, oh, geez, just let Boston score to make this game interesting.
I was at that game. Game 7. Yeah.
Wow.
And the only reason why I stayed, aside from the fact that my mother told me you never leave early, was I hate when the other team's fans take over your stadium. So I basically stayed there just to give them dirty looks.
Good.
So they didn't get to it 100% just to enjoy the stadium. And that was one of the most it was the greatest fucking night ever. Me and a buddy of mine, we had dinner in the North End, had this great Italian meal. We got a little drunk. We got a car service. Went over to the game. Watched the game. Saw, you know, one of the great comebacks in hockey history. Then afterwards, we ended up at this cigar bar in the North End, smoking these stogies, and everybody just sitting around. You know, all Bruins fans sitting there, like, can you fucking believe that? And just laughing at all the people that were going to be lying, saying that they stayed to the end. I tweeted a picture of the row behind me, where I was sitting, like the seats are like black gold, black gold, black gold, and there was like there had to be a row of like. You know, 7 seats, just 7 people just took
everybody
off.
Everybody bailed.
I don't know why you would ever.
And they did lie about
it,
I'm
sure.
But
the times that people fucking leave, like I can't imagine the amount of people that probably left that BCS game after either one of those last 3 touchdowns. Florida State scores, some Auburn fan left, Auburn scores, then I bet some Florida State fans left. It's just like, why the fuck would you ever leave?
Yeah,
I mean, most of the times you're right, it is over, but I just would never want to be that guy that you know, one of the most miraculous,
right.
Incomprehensible, and you're fucking out there in the car your wife.
Yeah.
Right? Remember when Gibby hit the big home run? You see in the background all these people leaving Dodger Stadium because, you know, L.A. fans are notorious for it. They want to beat the traffic.
Yeah, well, you know,
all these cars.
Well, if anybody has an excuse, it's L.A. fans. This fucking traffic out here is so goddamn
bad. I will say this though: of a lot, I haven't been to every hockey rink by far, but Staples Kings fans are pretty good. Like as far
I
as
like
being
Kings
into,
fans.
Being into the game and understanding the game, and they don't leave early. Like they're into the game.
Well, they're pretty good fans.
Yeah, Kings yeah. fans are good fans.
Well, dude, I mean they've been around for 46 years at this point, so they have a solid fan base. When you go down to a Ducks game, it's a little bit different.
Well, they're like Sharks fans. They don't get the as soon as your guy gets touched, it's like, oh, where's the penalty? It's like it's hockey.
I was impressed with Shark fans. I went to a game up there. I thought that they were solid. They were definitely ridiculously passionate. Like they are ridiculously
passionate.
I had a show that night, and I'm walking around the city, and it's just everybody's got on Sharks gear. There's like a friggin' regular
season
game.
Yeah, they gear up, don't they? Yeah.
And I was just going like, there's gonna be nobody at the comedy club, and there wasn't. I forget who. At least it was decent. I think they were playing like the Red Wings. It was a really. I remember I wanted to go to the game, and there was just so many jerseys. That's never a good sign as a comedian when you're in town and there's a big game and you're like, all right, that's already going to be a hit at the gate. But when you see everybody walking around with the jerseys on,
it's not
you're
good.
Like,
well, that's not the true, manager of the club, everybody.
Yeah. But that's not true, though, because this year I was there with you and you sold out that place and the game was right next to
me. Hey, when do you play the Boston Garden or the New Garden?
When do I play that?
Yeah, man. You could sell it out.
When I somehow kidnap Dane Cook? I don't know.
I bet you could sell it out.
No.
Come on, Billy.
No.
I bet you could.
No.
Wouldn't that be a treat?
Well, no. Dude, that's like 20,000 seats.
You could do it.
Yeah, in 6 months.
Me and Bill went to see
the 6 months, and you'd have to just add up all the shows I've done. I think collectively I could sell that
I
many
bet
tickets.
One of these days, that's my prediction, he's going to do it.
Nah, we were when the Kings won the cup. Bill's the one that brought me to the game.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Now that had to be good.
It was awesome. That was cool. Yeah. We just saw because Sutter just coached his 1,000th game. We were just at the game Thursday, and that's who I cheered for the most when he got to touch the cup with Sutter.
Yeah, sure.
Because someone, you know, one of the Sutter brothers who hadn't won a cup yet, played everywhere, coached everywhere.
And he did a good job,
now
too.
Now he can sit at Thanksgiving and get that extra helping of stuffing. Like, I got a cup, too.
Yeah. I just remember when we were sitting behind the goal, and when they brought the cup out, they brought it out from the other side where the Zamboni comes out, it seemed. That's like, so it was all the way on the other side. And just the level of excitement in the building. I have it on video.
Wow.
I sound like a little girl when I finally can see. I'm like, there it is. There it is. Like my voice goes all the way up. The shiniest thing I think I've ever seen. It was like that Pulp Fiction thing in his briefcase when they brought that thing out. And it was I've been to a couple, I've been to a Super Bowl and seen them bring out the trophy and the Rose Bowl, you see them bringing out, like bringing out the cup, the connection that you, even as a fan that you have, because just seeing them bring, just the fact that it's the same one.
It's the oldest, probably, right?
It's literally the same. The basic, what I love is when you were a kid and whoever your hero was, Bobby Orr, Gretzky, Messier, anybody you saw lifting that thing.
Same cup.
You literally get to put your hands where theirs were, drink out of the same cup, which is probably gross after a while. You have no idea what happened to it. But that's why I'm literally miming holding up the cup right now. I'm so excited.
That was pretty awesome.
It was unbelievable.
At the Hall of Fame, they have all the rings. Because they take off like a decade every decade. You know what I mean?
I was wondering about that. I'm like, how the fuck
they have the 20s and the 30s and the 40s. I think they keep like the earliest couple, and then like the middle chunk is at the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Like maybe the 50s and 60s are at the Hall of Fame.
I never knew that because when they first show it, it's like a little spittoon.
Right.
They had the Montreal Maroons and all those, the hell they had back then. And then it gradually gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I was thinking at some point you're going to have like, three guys.
have you been to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, but I've had really bad luck with the cup. Like, that's the only time that's the closest I've been to it was the Kings game. I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and it wasn't there.
Where's that, Toronto?
Yeah, Toronto. Yep. Yeah. Have you been to the Great Room or what they call upstairs?
Great. Well, I went there so long ago. I've been to all the Hall of Fame.
Because the bottom level was kind of like, it looks like it could be a Hard Rock Cafe. You know, it has like a billion paraphernalia and, just everything. It's nice. It's nice. But then the upstairs room is kind of like, like that's where they keep the ghosts. Like that's where all, they're not busts, they're like little drawings. And then the one room is just where all the trophies are. And like the Art Ross and all the trophies.
Oh, yeah. And then, badass.
And then another little room, even further than that, it's like, where a cancer man's telling you, who shot, Kennedy and everything.
Right.
But the final room is where they have like the original cup that's like a spittoon.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
I remember. I remember though. I was.
Yeah, you know.
Really?
I don't want to get this wrong. And be if someone knows, they can email me and call me out. But there was two other little cups that were like maybe the first hockey championship cups. The one that wasn't called, and then like Stanley donated his, and then it's
right.
Like
what
and
year
and they
would
show like the rings? Oh, from like the 1890s and stuff.
That far back. Wow.
Yeah, and they look beat up too. I mean, it looks like a spittoon. Like I mean, it's like
well, sure.
Yeah,
I remember when I did it. I think I was opening for Wynonna Judd. I used to open for. I opened on like a half dozen things, and she was playing somewhere. I remember it was outside of Toronto, and they have notoriously bad traffic. So I landed. So it was something I went into it real quick, and I ran through. So I don't think – I might have missed that because I think I would have remembered that. But that was that's something – I don't know if the listeners, if there's overlap to some of the other shows that I've done. But when I go on the road, that's basically – I go to games. Anything of the four major professional, I just go to games. I was just did gigs out in Europe. I went to a Premier League game.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah,
oh,
it's awesome. Something that breaks up, you know, just being in a hotel,
yeah.
Waiting to do the gig, going back to the airport, breaks up the monotony. You
sure.
See stuff. And I also like, you know, when you go to these old stadiums and stuff, you get to see like some of the history and that type of thing. So the goal was to eventually get to all of the Hall of Fame. I found... the Basketball Hall of Fame, I went to it before they redid it. It's in Springfield, Massachusetts. That one was kind of cool because you actually got to take jump shots and shit.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was kind of cool. The Canton, Ohio, the Football Hall of Fame.
What's that one like?
It's awesome, but it's like the level of guys that they let in. We were just talking about that. Like a lot of people, they need to raise the bar. Like too many people get in that fucking thing. Like there was a lot of busts I walked by. Well, I was just like, Jesus Christ, that guy, he did enough to get in there? Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's. I think every Hall of Fame has been watered down a little bit, except almost the base.
Well, the baseball one's taking a lot of heat right now.
Baseball is like overwhelming. That's like going to like a real museum. They have so much stuff in there, and there's just so much stats. Like, I just, like, I was almost like
overload. Hockey, I mean, the hockey one, the regular hockey people, I mean, not the regular hockey people, the NHLers all earn it. They're all, I mean, it's like Chelios and Scott Steele. I mean, I was a Hall of Fame, but they always have to have then, like, you know, oh, the first chick to ever stop a puck in a college game.
Right,
and
right.
Like,
let's not get Bill started.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, it's always like they have to have a couple people, like, this person hung a banner that, you know, that the Allied forces.
During
saw.
The war when all the men were away.
Yeah, like, it's like you know,
the
it's like
first
have to,
Girl Scout versus Girl Scout team.
Right.
Yeah, the war era inductees are always a little off.
Well, it's always, but you know, I mean, it's like the NHLers that are in, that's that bar is way high, but they always have a couple weird, just you know, put them and then they put them.
Well, there's a lot of guys, but
I know, but I get that though. They're selling the game, and it's I understand that they, you know, look.
Yeah, but then there's Chelios, like you
is
know,
Chelios in?
And then there's shit.
Look, I'm trying to be more even-handed in my.
Are those
my,
guys
it's,
in?
It's oh yeah, years. It was this year with Shanahan, Chelly, and oh geez, Niedermeyer.
Oh, all deserving. Yeah.
You know what's funny is like I mean I'm a obviously huge Chelios and obviously a huge Shanahan. I mean. I love Shannon.
He likes the power forwards.
But then you end up seeing Niedermeyer's stats. He's had a better career than everybody. Like, he was the number one guy. Like, if you had to pick one of those three, you'd have picked Niedermeyer. He won, like, an Olympic medal. Like, he was captain of two, like, captain of the Olympic gold medal. Has, like, three Olympic gold medals. Like, four Stanley Cups. Like, the number one defenseman scorer of all time. Like, just... It's like ridiculous. Like, oh my God, yeah.
I like Shanahan, man. Oh, that guy was he could do it all.
He's
a tough guy.
He's
too.
He's a Moses Malone of the Detroit Red Wings. You know, like he was like when Malone went to the Sixers, he gave him a ring. When you knew Detroit was so close, they just needed someone to take their balls out and put them on the ice and say, we're gonna win. To lead. I mean, it's kind of what Eisenman needed, kind of what Bill Guerin did for Sidney Crosby. Guerin comes to town like I got Sid's back. We're going to win the cup. That's kind of what Shanny did in Detroit. He's kind of like, I got Iserman's back. We're going to win the cup. And they rattled off 3 or 4.
Did you hear about this guy? They accidentally, the U.S. Olympic, we got the Olympics coming up, and they've already picked their rosters. They called a guy by accident, a 67-year-old Canadian, and told him he was on the U.S. team. sent him an email.
What do they call them? Did they have the same name or
they had a
one
phone number
off?
They were trying to reach Ryan Kessler, and he had changed his phone number. So they called, and they got this guy, and they left him a message saying, you made the team. So he called back, and he said, well, I think he'd be actually better off. I think the Canadians would love it if I played for you guys.
That's
because I am terrible.
I love that this old guy has Ryan Kessler's old fucking phone number.
Yeah, right.
It's getting tons of hockey bunnies calling him. Oh, like, yeah. Ryan, yeah. Are you in town? Yeah. Guys popping Viagra's showing up.
We went to the finals. It's brutal, man. You age a lot. Listen. That's hilarious.
Now, what do you think about the Olympics? The Canadian team is unbelievable.
I think the Canadians picked the wrong team, to be honest.
You do, really?
Yeah, I think they left off a couple guys they should have put on.
Really? Because it looks pretty loaded to me.
Oh, it's loaded compared to, like, you know, a lot of teams. But I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm not just a homer. I think they should have let Neil play with Crosby and Kunitz. I think they should have. I think St. Louis should have played. I like Carter. People are pissed about Carter being on the team. Carter should be on that team.
Sure, he's a scorer.
I think Tyler Seguin should be on that team. I think they're a little bit short on speed on the Canadian team, to be honest with you. It's a bigger rink. And some of their defensemen that they did not take, I think they should have took. I don't like Bo Meester. I think he's big and slow. I wouldn't have picked him. I like they picked Subban, though. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little
amazed at the level of knowledge that you have.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. I just sit here and go, what?
I mean, to tell you the truth, I think United States are going to surprise a lot of people because I think Disco Dan is really good at getting people to buy in, and I think they're all going to play good, and I think it's going to play fast, and I think Canadians are going to be tight. Canadians and Americans never play good on the big ice. The two times that the Canadians won recently when Lemieux was captain and Crosby then scored the big goal 4 years ago, they played on small rinks. They played in Salt Lake City, NHL ice, and they played in Vancouver, NHL ice. Canadians never do good on big worldwide
Where
ice.
Is it this year?
It's in Sochi, Russia.
In Russia.
So how
good are the Russians? Are they good again?
They're a little top. You know, they have like 8 NHLers and 8 KHLers, which is a good league. But I think they're going to put all their eggs in one basket. It's going to be Malkin and Ovechkin on the same line. And we'll see what happens. I mean... You know, when Gino's the best player in the world, the Penguins won the Stanley Cup. It's like, you know, if Gino plays up to Gino and Ovechkin's out there firing.
I can't wait to see it.
The
only thing I don't like about Olympic hockey is all the people that watch it and then they go, see, if this is what the NHL was like,
yeah, right.
I would watch it. It's like, no, you wouldn't.
No.
You
no,
wouldn't.
No.
You wouldn't. Or you no. would be. Because it's not That's that true. Much difference. What they already have the no-touch icing now, and they act like the fighting in hockey. I mean, Jesus Christ! Was there a fight when we?
Yeah, Chara got knocked down. Remember the guy from the Kings actually hit Clifford actually put Chara
down
the ice.
Kings game. Chara didn't have a fight.
Yeah, he did
a fight.
Yeah,
he
Chara
had a fight.
Chara got punched in the face by. I'm sorry, that was when they played Winnipeg. Thorburn knocked Char out. No, you're right. There was no fight.
Yeah, there was no fight.
I'm sorry.
And I watched more games than anybody.
That was a Winnipeg. Winnipeg. Thorburn actually knocked Char out, but he knocked him down. He punched him twice good, and Char went down on his knees, and Char actually got up and tapped him. Like, that was a good job. Char is a class act.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, most hockey games you go to, there isn't a fight.
Not these days.
No, and back in the day, it seemed like there was one every period, or one every period and a half. And it's just like, you still wouldn't watch it.
But it's like
they're watching this wholesome version of the game.
It's like people who watch Fox News, though. They just repeat what Fox News says. ESPN wants to rip on hockey, so people who only watch ESPN, they have the same talking points that ESPN has.
The only time unless they're broadcasting it. If they're broadcasting it, they lay off. But the only time they show hockey, for the most part, they'll put Melrose on for 2 seconds. Or if there is a bad incident, anytime there is a bad incident,
they can't wait to crap on hockey.
And then they start talking about the NHL like it's 1975.
Right.
And it's just like, I wish it was half as bad as you said it is, because you're saying it is because I miss those days.
Yeah, those days were fun.
I think NHL should just stop trying to be the number three, the number two, or number one sport in this country. They should just accept the fact that they're this fucking rogue sport that a certain segment of the population is going to be into. The rest aren't, and they can just be happy being millionaires.
Play your audience.
Just be happy being millionaires.
Play your audience, yeah.
I've said that for years. I don't want hockey being – I don't need Susie Colbert ruining hockey. Like, let it be the way it is. It's you know, too American.
I'm glad Namath tried to kiss her. Anyway, the
I'm
still mad about
that. His might be off Samuelson. Mine is Susie Colbert, dude. I've finally stopped, you know, where I'm going to get like a lawsuit.
And
for
Joe Namath's behavior, that's me at the Rose Bowl.
Great. That's great. I loved it.
Everybody loves the ladies.
Yeah, come on, man. I loved it. You know, it was funny because Jay Johnstone, I do a podcast with Jay, you know, the ex-Dodger player, and he played for the Phillies too and everything. And he was talking about he became friends with the Hammer, with Dave Schultz, and they were buddies. And Schultz said, kept telling him, come on down and watch me skate. Come on over and watch me skate. So finally Jay goes down to the Spectrum and watches him. And Jay doesn't know anything about hockey, and he's done watching him. And he goes, he skated out. He hit some guy in the head. He's in the penalty box. Then he skates out, and he hits some guy with a stick. He's back in the penalty box. This happened like five times during the game, and finally he got ejected. So after the game, he goes, how'd you like my skating? He goes, well, I only saw you skate like 3 feet.
Yeah.
Then you'd punch somebody, and you're back in the box.
Oh, the Hammer. Well, you know,
he had the craziest look in his eyes when he was going to fight.
I mean,
crazy look on his face.
He was a crazy guy.
I'm going to watch the hockey. I'm going to love it. But I liked it more when it was in the summer and it was called the World Cup of Hockey. That means we've talked about this before, me and Fraser on the show. I don't want the NHL.
Well, then the injuries don't come into play and the momentum doesn't get stopped. And
exactly. To me, the number one goal is the Stanley Cup, not the gold medal. Because to me, I've many fuels in the fire for the gold medal now. It's like, I want Malkin to have a great, I don't want him coming back sour. I don't want Crosby getting shit on anymore in Canada, even though he's already given him a gold medal.
Yeah, why would he?
I don't want to see America lose. That's my coach and my guys on that. It's my country. So it's like, you know, I don't need this kind of drama. I just want the Penguins to play in the NHL for the Stanley Cup.
Let me ask you something. Do you think they'd be better served taking an NHL team intact and letting them play since they already have their chemistry?
Depends which one. If you take the Blackhawks or the Bruins or maybe the Penguins, yes. If you take the Carolina Hurricanes, no, I think an all-star team from Sweden would beat them.
Right. Okay. But you think a top NHL team would win?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Like last year's Blackhawks?
Yeah, or I think if you take the Kings right now and they went to Sweden and played the best team in Sweden, I think the Kings would win.
Right. Okay.
But the Kings have high-end players. I mean, five or six Kings are going to be playing in the Olympics.
Now, we've all talked about this a million times, but how did the Miracle on Ice ever happen? How did college guys beat the Russians? I mean, I know it was a fluke.
I just think it was different back then. Just the level of nutrition and
they wanted
conditioning
it more,
now.
They wanted it more.
But the thing is, like, that will never happen again.
Yeah. It could never happen, right?
There's too much going on. Did you see the thing on A-Rod on 60
yeah,
Minutes?
Yeah.
You know what killed me was when he allegedly sends this text and he goes, "Hey, I'm feeling good. I got a big game tomorrow. What do you got?" And the guy sends him a little magic bag of thing, and then A-Rod goes out and has like two doubles and a fucking single or something. Has a great game. And they asked him like, "What did you feel like?" They asked the guy who gave him the stuff, "What did you feel like?" And he goes, "I felt like this is too easy. This is like, you know, shooting fish in a barrel." And like, that's like the level, like the knowledge that, like, you got to think, like, roids back then, you just took horse tranquilizers or whatever the hell you just shot them in and you fucking punch people as you walk down the street going to the arena. Like, they have it down so much to be able to get these guys to the optimal level legally.
Yeah.
Forget about now with all this extra stuff I really don't think that college. Like back in the day when they'd be like, "I tell you, one of these SEC teams could beat a pro team." Like nowadays, you fucking couldn't because
no.
I think that the separation, I'm meandering here, the separation between college and pro is so much for the average guy. I mean, obviously, there's people that from college make the fucking pros, but to just have a bunch of college kids are going to get together and we're going to play the Russians who are a fucking pro team. That would never happen again.
You know what though? I just think about though, like the joy. Even if Russia does bring like their KHL team, why not let the kids that are Aruzioni, who's making a mint, still on a speaking tour, never played hockey after he won the gold medal.
He never played NHL?
Never played it. Only skated him up in like charity events. He never played a competitive game in his life after that. I think it's great that those kids, why does the Luge guy have to become famous? Like, let some college kids be famous and go for the shot at the golden boot. Like, you know, like Crosby, Malkin, whoever you want to say, anybody, Paul Martin, Orpik, no one, they don't need that. They're in the NHL. Let these other kids get a shot.
I agree with that. I think if you're already like a fucking millionaire in your sport, I don't think that you should. Like, I liked when it was all amateur thing, but back in the day, it was just like the Russians weren't going to be in the NHL. So there were Ovechkins, there Malkins were on their team, and that's why they were so difficult to beat.
But now they're not, though.
Yeah.
Or they might keep them.
Remember the...
But who cares? I mean, I'd rather just let the kids play.
Remember the initial...
Let the kids play.
Yeah,
kids,
come on. That's a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
I actually love the Winter Olympics. Like, I get into curling. Like
do
curling,
you really?
Oh, my God. First of all, the women are hot as hell. I sit there when they do that little move where they got to send it off. They're squatting down.
Yeah, they're down.
Oh,
yeah.
They look nice.
That's like watching your maid sweep. Bend over, Esmeralda. you missed a spot.
No, it's not as creepy as that. About 50% creepy as
but
that.
They should put some maids on that team. What is the...
aren't they wearing too many clothes to get into that, though?
I mean, what do you mean?
Aren't they like in ski outfits?
They're wearing like yoga pants.
Oh, really?
They're hot, man.
Oh.
I'm telling you, dude. Like, I'm not saying straight across the board. Generally speaking, if you ended up with a professional curler for the evening, you would not be disappointed.
No, I would not be disappointed. No, I wouldn't.
Whatsoever. No. But I like the downhill skiing. I like the ski jump. I like curling. I like the hockey. I like the winter sports. I find when I watch the summer shit, throwing a javelin and a hammer and fucking running 20 laps before everybody decides they're going to sprint, whatever that one is, it bores the shit out of me.
I like throwing the hammer. That's just good stuff.
The hammer's pretty cool.
Because I just think, like, you just think if you just throw that at someone, you know, I don't know. I'm always thinking about, like, the real skills, you know. Like, that'd be cool to throw a hammer that far at someone. Just like, F you, hammer at
those are some of the best.
Four.
Yeah.
Those are some of the best fucking bloopers when the person gets going so fast.
Right.
That the hammer starts throwing them.
Or it goes in the crowd.
To me, the best bloopers are, because now my daughter's old enough, my wife doesn't care. We watch the mean shows, like Ridiculous and stuff, where people get maimed. And I'm always like, this is a good one. Anytime it's gymnastics, someone's getting maimed. It's my favorite. Like, when they have to hit the horse, and you know, if they show it, someone's getting maimed.
How about the guy that got hit with a javelin? That was exciting.
Yeah.
What is the sweeping for in the curling? Obviously, to get the, to slow it down?
I think they speed it up, right? I don't know.
I think it speeds it up.
Yeah, it causes friction.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Anthony with a big stick tap assist.
Yeah, man.
Our producer,
I don't get
Anthony,
that. What is friction?
In?
How does friction speed up? I thought friction slows down. That's how brakes work.
Well, that's why I said slow. I mean, it must do both, right? You must speed it up at some points because you want it to slow down at other points.
This is the highlight of the podcast because you know there's somebody else that knows the answer. So let's just speculate so they can enjoy knowing something.
Yeah, email us the answer on that.
I would think if the friction would heat up the ice, which would cause it to melt a little bit, which would slow it down. That's what I'm going with. Family feud. Good answer.
I always thought they were taking the snow away. Like, you know, like snow makes pucks go slower. I thought they were just sweeping the snow away to make it go faster. But
that's what it is.
You know what's amazing?
I'd go with any of these answers.
If you drive, like I drove, I did a gig outside of Toronto. That's why I went to the Hall of Fame this year. Long story short, there's curling clubs everywhere in Canada. It's like bowling alleys.
Oh yeah,
that's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
we skate. You can curl. Me and Nate want to go down there one day. I said I want to go down and be like fucking hammered, and I want to beat somebody.
Curling. Oh, yeah. That's gotta be. It can't be that hard.
Well,
I don't think it is.
I opened. I was on.
I think to just be good at it. I don't think it to get to an Olympic level. I think is literally like.
Yeah, it's like bowling.
You got to shave hundreds of seconds off your sweeping.
You know, I was on
to get there.
On a gig
their grills are completely clean in the summer, right? Yeah. getting the grime.
I was on a gig with Russell Peters in Montreal, and he was playing this big place, Palais des Arts. And I called my cousin who lives in Montreal, and she goes, I can't make it. I go, hey, come on out. I got front row seats for you. And she goes, can't make it. I got a curling match tonight. Curling match.
There you go.
And she's a nurse, but she had to go and do her curling.
Yeah, well, it's like bowling in America. Like, people do it. They love doing it. They drink. They, you know, it's.
You don't let down your teammates.
That's true.
Teammates first, comedy show second.
Yeah, I wasn't even mad at her. I was like, okay.
Did you guys see, Bill would definitely love this. Did you guys see, I put it out on the web, Ian Bagg sent like 30 things that all beer league hockey players, you know, you're a beer league hockey player or something like that.
Oh, that must be hilarious.
Did you see that, though? The first thing was me, though, or things you have to learn or something. Of I forget the exact quote. I'm not trying to plug it, but it's I put it on Facebook. It's on Twitter. One is first thing is please learn how to stop. Because that's me when I play. I can't stop. And they show the guy just like me, like the puck turns. I do the big sweeping U-turn. Come back. Yeah. And they were all like.
Well, that's even scarier when
they're like, bring your own tape. People hate when you have to borrow people's tape. It's the funniest.
What's also scary when someone your size can't stop.
Oh, I know.
You're
like, uh-oh, here he comes.
And then you're like, you burn. Know? You just sidestep me, and then he's going to big heap.
You know, I was reading where Gretzky is breaking his exile. I didn't even know he was on exile. He was mad at the NHL.
Because he was blackmailing the NHL is what he was doing.
He wasn't getting money out of his Phoenix, out of the whatever happened in Phoenix.
Right.
Know.
But he was blackmailing them. He's like, I will not make any personal appearances or do anything for the league until I get my money.
Is that what he's doing?
So, I mean, yeah, he basically blacked. I'm not trying to knock the great one, but that's basically what he did.
They weren't paying him in Phoenix?
Right, because they went bankrupt and the league took over the team. So, like, when the Penguins went bankrupt, Lemieux just said, okay, well, I'll put that into my part of the ownership and then let's move on. They didn't let Gretzky, his group didn't end up buying the team, but they still owed him the money.
Right.
And the league could have easily paid, but they had the money. They just never did. So Gretzky was finally fed up and was like, listen, I'm not going to come and be your spokesman and throw the first puck out at the All-Star game.
I think that's right, because the entire southern hemisphere of hockey, when he went from Edmonton to L.A., that finally brought the game down.
No, he brought the game here.
Yeah, so he's made them way more.
I completely agree with you, and I love Gretzky, but to me, that ruined hockey.
Well, you know what he's doing now?
I 100% agree.
Because that is the reason why. We talked about it at the game we were watching the game together, and our buddy Court McCallum was with us.
Court McCallum
on the show. He's a huge hockey fan. He'll be up soon. But I said, because there's 10 extra teams. It used to be there was 21 teams, 16 made the playoffs, right? And the Penguins never did back in those days. But you know what? In February, you can play a 6-5 game. Nobody cares, because if you're in the top 16, you're going to make the playoffs.
Right.
Now, it's so close that in October, it's like 1-0 in the second. Let's run a left wing lock. No one, you know, it's like this. It turns into, the devil's hockey, where it's like there's no excitement. I mean, there's excitement for me, the hockey fan, fanatic, but in general, the games aren't as
fluid. So how many teams do you think should be in the league?
I would ax 8 of them.
All right, let's hear them.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to knock cities. I just think there's too many teams. You know what I would do, actually? I would put more teams in Europe and just make the flight. I would say in 10 years, when the travel is that easier, I would put teams in the big hockey towns in Europe and have there be a Europe division of the NHL.
Really?
Well, anyway, this is what they should do.
Yeah. Well,
they should just create the Europe one. It's the same level, and it's rather than having be just, you know, remember with baseball how they didn't have interleague play ever, unless you win the World Series. You just do it that way, and then you win basically over here, and then both sides play for the Stanley Cup.
For the World Cup.
Stanley. Oh, my God.
Good idea.
You think that Canadians got mad when Tampa Bay won the Cup? Wait until the Cup goes back to Mott.
But I think that's a good
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's not even on this continent.
They're like, if Canada has an Air Force, they'd probably shoot the plane down.
That'd be the one time they'd go to war.
Yeah, they would.
The one time. You know what? Are you guys going to the game at Dodger Stadium? It's coming up.
I'm out of town that weekend. I'm sick to my stomach.
Man.
I end up getting a work, and I had a hookup. I was going to get to skate Dodger Stadium.
Come on.
Dude, you remember when I had Tourette's when I walked? We walking into the Kings game, and I looked down at my phone, and it's a gig I can't. I have to. I got to be professional. I got to do it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was with Court.
Yeah.
And I said, just cocksucking motherfucker. I flipped out. The whole month. Wide open. Like, there's, for people aren't in this business, there's an old joke in this business, you know, if you want to get acting work or whatever,
go to the airport.
It's basically book a vacation.
Yeah.
Just plan, just like, you know what? I'm gonna do something fun. Yeah. I'm gonna whatever. Yeah. Go skeet shooting. Anything that you decide you're gonna go do, then all of a sudden it's just like, they're bringing back Alice. They want you to play a fucking waitress. You're like, okay.
Well, that's like
say yes.
That's like all the outdoor games. I wouldn't go to the ones in New York. Nothing against. I just wouldn't go. The two I want to go to, boom, working.
It never fails.
I really wanted to do that Chicago Penguins one at Chicago Stadium.
Yeah,
I
that
really
wanted been to good.
Go. Besides, this one's Edith. This I didn't have to travel for this one. I can like. I mean, if I was in, if I was at a biker in shaper, I could bike to Dodger Stadium.
Sure, you could do another tailgate. You guys tailgate. Invite your buddy with the Bloody Marys. You guys be rolling.
I wanted to. Oh, but it's like, you know, just to be.
Billy be out there hammered, skating around.
I mean, that's really, it's. I didn't want to talk. I'm sick to my stomach. Because this thing, bro. I didn't get into this business to work. I'm one of the laziest people ever. I got into it to have fun. So that was literally like, and I was going to, I'm skating where Dusty Baker's dead and Ron Say's over here. And I'm skating in Dodger Stadium. Doesn't even fucking make sense.
Oh,
I'll never have an opportunity to do it again. And it's just something that I already committed to do something. In the
You're a pro.
The shoot thing moved.
You're a pro.
It moved. I got to do it.
Well, you got to do it. But that's God too bad. It. That would have been
but
fun.
But Frazier's going, right? You're going to go to the game.
I'm going to go to the game.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to skate. But that, you know, I'm excited. And that's what I was saying about Gretzky. He's breaking his exile to come out.
Right. That's what they are.
Right. And then Vin Scully's going to be there. And I don't think he's announcing the game, but...
Does Vince Kelly know what hockey is?
Probably not.
You think he's going to a spring training game?
Plug some Dodger dogs. Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be a ball game today.
Well, I guess that's it, right?
I had a great time, guys.
Man, Billy, you were great.
I don't know the game the way you guys know it. I mean, I am a passionate fan. I watch my team. And then I'll miss stretch. Like in this West Coast trip, I went to the Kings game. I watched like a period of the Anaheim game, and I completely missed the San Jose game. I don't even know if they won or lost. I think they won. I got the friggin' app on my phone. I've just been really running around busy. So
well, we're glad.
This Bartnick over here going, I think they're a little top heavy. The Finland's national team. I
he
think
knows
they,
everyone
they,
in Europe,
they should have put it's unreal.
He just doesn't know every player in the NHL. He knows every player in the world.
That's my, you know, but that's my sport though. I've shut off from the other ones, and not even purposely. I just love hockey, and I'm a married guy. And
We rode over the whole way over. He's got a sports show like this guy. It's like watching like a Gordon Gekko watching the stock thing there. Whatever the heck, the ticker tape.
Yeah, Penguins 24/7. It's like my lifeblood.
Wow. Bro.
Yeah, but I love all the hockey.
Yeah, he's pretty impressive with his knowledge.
Oh, thanks, Frazier.
Well, we have a good time on this show.
Yeah,
it's puck off.
It was
and
funny though.
Billy
because,
Burr.
Like, Bill was like, you know, it's been a month since an incident between the Penguins and the Flyers. I literally thought if we booked this like a month ago, this would be just an hour of screaming. Well,
I'm sure there'll be another one. We can bring him back.
Yeah.
Know what happened? There always seems to be something, and you guys like
there'll
looking.
Be some blood, there'll be some chum in the water.
There'll be something.
There'll be something.
Last year we finally played each other, and it was just so goddamn easy to beat you guys.
I'm sorry we laid there like a cheap whore. Yeah. Jesus.
You kind of did. Yeah, you kind of did. All right. Well, listen, Billy Burr, thank you, buddy, and more continued success to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're
thank
doing
you very
great.
Much. Thank you
thanks
guys
for joining
me.
Us.
I'll come back anytime.
Joey, thanks for joining
thank
us.
Thank you, Frazier. It's great to have the captain.
I'm back for two games in a row.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And we'll see you next week on Puck Off.
Thank you.